Afternoon, everybody. Thank you, Mr. Henderson. So we've just celebrated 3 weeks ago tomorrow, the day of Pentecost, the day the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples who gathered together as commanded. We're also approaching the Day of Trumpets, which is just over 12 weeks away, the day when Christ returns to this world to take his rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's the day coming up that the bridegroom returns to those who wait in the church, both living and dead, who will rise up and meet him. Those that have held fast and overcome to the end, enduring along the way. The time between those two holy days also pictures the Christian's journey from baptism, the receiving of the Holy Spirit, and the end of their physical existence, culminating in rising up, as I said, in the air at Christ's return, and entering the very family of God. It's a period of time where we have to develop the talents that we are given at baptism. The period of time when we will have to fill our lamps with oil. The period of time in our Christian journey that we must allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and grow. Turn please to Matthew 25. It's a parable that we know very well, of the wise and foolish virgins. So Matthew 25, starting in verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamp and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps but took no oil in them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So the wise had the Holy Spirit in them, whilst the foolish had neglected prayer and Bible study and meditation, and the Holy Spirit had dwindled right down. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered in verse 5, and they all slept. All of us slumbered and slept. Exactly what has happened over the last few years. And at midnight, verse 6, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out and meet him." Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Now it's interesting, in the parallel account, don't turn there, but in Luke 12:35, it says, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning." It's not just filling up our lamps with the oil so that we have enough oil to light them when the bridegroom approaches. Our lamps have to be burning all the time. The oil is used actively. We need to replace daily what is being burnt. And that we also have enough in our lamps while we wait for Christ's coming. And verse 8, "And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but rather go and buy from those who sell, and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut." The day of trumpets, the bridegroom comes, and those that are ready go into the wedding. Those wise virgins. Just dropping down to verse 14. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man travelling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to the one he gave 5 talents, another 2, and another 1, each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey." So at baptism we are given those talents. All 3 of the servants were given the Holy Spirit when they were baptised. The first 2 knew that they should use it and grow with it diligently. Verse 16, "Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went out and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them." Verse 20, "So he went to those who had received 5 talents, came and bought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside it.' And his Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.' And the same thing happened with the one that had been given 2 talents. He gained another 2 more talents. And in verse 23, the Lord said to him again, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many, many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.'" We are in our journey towards the return of Christ. No matter how long we've been in the church, we are all offered eternal life, serving God and Christ. to teach the rest of mankind how to live in the future. By our prayer, Bible study, meditation, we are in communication with the very creator of this universe, learning real information, knowledge from the tree of life, so that we can teach the rest of mankind in the future. We are in contact with the very creator, allowing his Holy Spirit to flow into us. The servant who developed 2 talents received eternal life, as did the one who received 5 talents, but the latter will have the higher position and responsibility in the kingdom of God. The third one, who did not value what he had been given, didn't grow it, didn't develop it. He didn't pray, he didn't study, he didn't meditate on God's word, despite knowing what he should do. He went off after false doctrines. In verse 10, just going back up to verse 10. The virgins, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Verse 11, afterwards the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And in verse 12, but he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. The foolish virgins, who did not have sufficient oil in their lamps, are told by Christ he does not know them. Something I hope none of us hear. Just drop down to verse 24. Verse 24 to 30, the servant that received that 1 talent, who hid it in the ground, he didn't value what he had. He'd put it out of sight, out of mind. And picking up in verse 30, they lose out on eternal life. Verse 30, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So that is the difference between the wise and the foolish virgins, the ones that have the talents and develop them, and the ones that just hide it in the ground. But turn, please, to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 3, and starting in verse 2. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Saviour. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the beginning fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Life's carried on since Mr. Armstrong died. Some out there are saying, Mr. Armstrong was wrong. Let's go off, look over here, look over there. Or religion? Don't want anything to do with that now, thank you. But drop down to verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And down to verse 17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away in the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Growing in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord and Saviour is something that we need to do. We need to grow the talents. We need to fill our lamps with the oil that we need. But this sermonette is about encouragement. What if we are drifting? What if we have allowed that oil in our lamps to drain low or even out? Go back up to verse 9, please. Verse 8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Our Father in heaven and our Saviour don't want anyone to perish. Go through the Bible from start to finish. God repeatedly says, choose life. Choose the blessings I want to give you. I want to give you eternal life. They both want every single person to be in their family. If we go back now to Luke 15, there's a couple of parables about losing and finding. And while we're turning there, in verse 1 and verse 2, we notice that these parables were given to tax collectors, sinners, scribes and Pharisees. So those that have the law, those that don't. There are all walks of life there, listening to the parables. There's 3 different examples of being lost and found. The first one is the man who had 100 sheep. One was lost, and he went out and searched until he found it. And in verse 7, there was joy in heaven over the sinner who repents. And the second was lost and found is the woman who lost one of her 10 coins and turned her house upside down until she finds it. And again, in verse 10, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then verse 11, this is a parable that I really have always liked. And it is the parable of the lost son. And in verse 11, then he said, a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them divided to them his livelihood. And in verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed off to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. They left the church, they went back to the world. And in verse 14, but then when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. He realized that he was off track, realized that he had buried that talent in the ground, returned to his senses, realized that he had to go back to his father and ask for forgiveness. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring out the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. If we've gone off track, we can repent and return to our Father in humility before him, because he is willing that none should perish. Then, verse 25 to 30, we see the other brother is angry for the celebration at his brother's return. And in verse 31, he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. Verse 32, but it is right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. No matter where we are in our journey, between receiving the Holy Spirit on Pentecost and Christ's return on trumpets, if we repent, pray, study, meditate on God's word, and humble ourselves before him, then the Father will celebrate our return into the fold, not willing that any should perish. If our oil is running low, let us go out now to those that sell the oil while there is still time. Even in the tribulation, there will be those who return from that faraway country back to their father's house. There will be those in the tribulation who do have sufficient oil in their lamps who will be able to go out when the bridegroom returns. But those of us, they will be with us side by side at the marriage feast. They will have just taken a different journey, one that is a much more dangerous route. We are in that time period when we should be filling our lamps. We've all been given the talents to grow. If we dug a hole in the ground and put our talents in there, we need to dig it back up and start growing it. If we've gone back to the world, either in totality or just in aspects of our life, we need to return, as the prodigal son did, back to his home, the church, back to our Father. Now, I can almost hear Mrs. Henderson Sr. asking, so what's the title of the sermonette? Go buy the oil before it is too late. All of the virgins slumbered and slept, even the wise ones. But if our lamps are low on oil, let us start buying that oil from those that sell now, and not wait until it is dark. Not wait until the bridegroom is coming, when he will suddenly be there and we have to go out and meet him. Because if we wait until then to buy the oil, it will be too late. Remember that our Father in heaven has compassion. He says repeatedly, choose life. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. and that on that day we will be able to stand before him when he says to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord."